And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good afternoon, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, Jeff.
How you doing, everybody?
And we are sitting, standing, enjoying the beautiful screening room on 27 East Congress Street in beautiful downtown Tucson.
This place is cool. You walk right past it, and you don't even know it's here, but if you find it, it's such a gem. Really like it.
Yeah, they even show movies here.
Really?
Yeah.
So we want to say thanks to our sponsors of the Fred and Jeff Show, starting out with the Made to Order, Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, H&S Estate Gardening, Monkey Burger, Yum Yum, and Temco Air Environmental, and our friends at Ronstadt Insurance.
Yeah, and actually I got a newsletter from our friends at Ronstadt Insurance today.
Yeah, we sent a newsletter out to all of our clients, you know, just trying to help them figure out what's going on out there. You know, we try to help people stay financially healthy.
And
there were so many grammatical errors, Fred. It was hilarious. I probably got 15 people call, send me an email back saying, hey, Jeff.
Ronstadt is spelled.
Without an H and two Ds.
Well, you know, the electronic world, the social media network is very important to us, and you can follow us on Twitter. As a matter of fact, if you sign up today, and those of you who already tweet with us or follow us, we're going to be giving away a dozen roses towards the end of the show. So if you're following us on Twitter... Yeah, if you're following us on Twitter, you will be able to
get the instructions on how to get those roses.
And you can follow us on our electronic companion, which is the fredandjeff.com.
Right, and Facebook. Don't forget Facebook.
Facebook, and you can actually subscribe to the Fred and Jeff Show on iTunes.
You can like us,
and it's all free and fun.
Right, and we've got all of our past shows up there for folks to listen to.
And we can twit and tweet and whatever else we want
and
to do.
And like and unlike, right?
No unliking.
No unliking. So we got a big show for you today. And again, we're down here at the screening room. We're going to be celebrating the International Film Festival and talking to a whole bunch of folks. So stick around. We'll be right back to kick it off with our first guest. And we'll see you in a minute. Maybe not. We're back.
Let's talk to Clegg.
Clegg, all right. Sometimes Mark sneaks out. Sometimes our...
No, I'm ready. I'm ready, guys. Sorry about
there.
That.
No, sorry. Let's talk to Clegg.
All right, we're going to talk to Clegg.
Well, you know, we're really blessed because a lot of people contact us about stuff that are going on in the community. And we want them to. The Tucson Parks Foundation for eons was doing the LPGA golf tournament to raise money to support the parks, different parks projects, the infrastructure, all sorts of things. And... that went away a few years back, but the creativity of the foundation, they came up with a new product, and I don't know, can't remember exactly how many years you guys have been doing this, but it's a huge thing for you guys.
Yeah, this will be our third annual $1 million hole-in-one contest, which gives you a chance not only to help the parks, but, you know, possibly put $1 million in your pocket.
That's a beautiful thing. So tell us about this hole-in-one contest. It starts March 31st and goes April 1st to 3rd, April 7th to 8th. And it's from 11 to 6 p.m. at Randolph.
Yeah, come on out to the practice area on the Randolph North Course. We'll be there from 11 in the morning to 6 at night. You buy golf balls from a volunteer, or you can buy them online at TucsonParksFoundation.org. Come out, take your shots every day. The 6 closest to the pin win a prize. The top 3 go to our semifinals with a first prize chance to win $10,000, and 6 lucky finalists. We'll get a chance on April 9th to take a shot for $1 million.
Wow. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
And it's down at Randolph Golf Course, 600 South Alvernon Way.
Now, there's a little bit of handicap. You do this on a par 5, right?
We want someone to win. We are going to make this as easy as possible.
Has anyone won this yet?
Not in Tucson. They've won in Phoenix. There's actually a professional golfer on the tour who got his start by winning $1 million hole-in-one contest 20 years ago. And he became a pro after that.
So wait a second. So you have how many finalists on that last day?
We'll have 6 finalists on the last day.
What if all 6 of them hit a hole-in-one?
Then each one gets $1 million, and
wow.
We'd love to see that happen.
That's cool. That's going to make your insurance guy, you know, have a heart attack. But that's still great. That's great. Tell us a little bit about where the money goes.
Well, what we do is we fund special projects that aren't covered by the general revenue of the city of Tucson. You know, our main project right now is we're going back into neighborhood centers, parks, places where they have older play equipment for kids. And we've been putting shade structures over the play equipment. So the equipment lasts longer, the kids can enjoy them all during the year, and, you know, of course it helps limit their exposure to the sun because we're all concerned about skin cancer.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
It's like a triple winner.
That's great. Well, good luck.
And we have a special prize to give away. Now, this is a packet of 15 coupons, and each coupon is good for 10 shots during the qualifying round. So the third caller at 529-3508, 529-3508, will get this packet of tickets, and you'll be well on your way. 150 chances to get to $1 million.
Right.
Holy mackerel, Fred. You're awfully generous to one person.
Well, you know,
I'd say spread the wealth, baby.
We got stuff to give away.
Oh, yeah, so. We got lots of stuff to give away, folks. So the third caller, 529-3508, wins 150 opportunities to qualify for the hole-in-one.
And they can use them every day. They can give them to friends.
Sure.
They can share the wealth. Sure.
All right, that's great. Thanks a bunch for coming down today.
Oh, thank you.
And
look forward to seeing you out there.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, Clegg.
And
Thanks.
On the other side of the break, we'll have Roller Girls rolling in here to tell you a little bit about their big event this weekend.
So Best Devil.
Stick around.
Lately, I find myself out gazing at stars, hearing guitars like someone in love. Sometimes the things I do.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that will exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for house of light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A house of light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout Southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
This is Lamont Hunley with Arizona Health with your Fred and Jeff Show fitness tips. A heart rate monitor tracks your fitness training level to help you achieve your maximum results. If you're going too easy or pushing too hard, the heart rate monitor will prompt you to either slow down or speed up. This guidance makes it very easy to stay in your target zone, and it helps you to get the most out of your workout. The monitor, it includes a chest strap that is worn very comfortably around the chest area, and a watch that displays this information. It's like having a coach on your wrist. For more information, please contact Arizona Health at arizonahealth.com. This has been Lamont Huntley with your Fred and Jeff Fitness Tips.
We're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show, and we want to thank our guest, Clegg Van Slyk, from the Tucson Parks Foundation, the hole-in-one prize, and some lucky listener just got 150 shots at $1 million.
But I think the guy that won is probably very generous, and he'll be sharing with all of his buddies.
Yeah, he should be.
Yeah, he should be.
Speaking of which, we should promote the fact that on April 30th, Jeff's band, the Chili's, will be playing at the Hut. And
you're just really loving talking about the backyard barbecue, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, not. I just bring. See, I give you props, but the real reason is because you and I are going to be MCs for the event.
We are going to be MCs for the event, and the second after the Chili's are done playing, my rear end is gone because Tiana's got a commitment that we've got to fulfill. But
no, we'll be hanging out at the backyard barbecue, and
it was like from 4 to 7.
And there's a fundraiser for
hemophilia.
Hemophilia, yeah.
Yeah, to cure it. So anyhow, we have two lovely ladies sitting here in front of us.
We have Chase Banks and Major Harlot.
Hello.
Hello.
And the Big Dust Devils this weekend.
Indeed, it is April 2nd and 3rd.
Sweet. Now, tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, this year we are super excited. We actually have 12 teams coming
in. Hey, guys, can I interrupt you there for a second? Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Hold on a second. One second.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I need to have her get closer to the microphone or turn up the volume because we're having a little trouble hearing her.
All right, cool.
Go ahead.
All right, is this better?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we've got 12 teams coming in from across the nation to participate in an invitational tournament that will be going on all day long. You've got 12 hours of derby starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. on Sunday.
Wow.
It's going to be intense.
I'll betcha.
And our saddle tramps, our very own Tucson saddle tramps, they are playing at 3:15 on Saturday. And then depending on how they do, will progress throughout the tournament, which we're pretty sure they're going to win it because they're awesome.
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny. You look at the standings in the intrastate tournaments, and the Tucson team's just been kicking butt left and right.
Well, yeah, we're kind of good.
And the Vice Squad just did some the number up in the Prescott this weekend.
We played against the Prescott girls, and it went rather well.
Yeah, don't be embarrassed to give the score.
Our score was 198-67, I believe.
It was fantastic.
Holy mackerel. 198-67?
Yes.
Okay, so for nerds like me that don't really know roller derby, Fred's the big roller derby guy in the household, but I was looking at the Tucson Sentinel earlier today, and there's a big story on your thing that's happening at the TCC. There's video. There's the whole nine yards. So folks are kind of unfamiliar with roller derby, specifically you guys, they should go to TucsonSentinel.com and read the article and watch the video because I think it answers a lot of questions.
That's fantastic. It definitely helps. And we give out sheets that help Derby 101 to help people understand the game. And you're going to have all day long Saturday and Sunday to kind of figure it out if you come.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And if you go to TucsonRollerDerby.com, you can actually get the brackets for the game.
Right. We actually have a specific website set up for this event, and it's DustDevilTournament.com, and it has the list of the brackets as well as all the teams that will be playing
and
everything.
Cool. And we'll link that on the FredandJeff.com website
That's
for
great.
Our listeners.
Yeah.
And we have actually this is a 2-day event, and what we have are two packs, 4 tickets for each day. We have 2 of those. So caller number 3.
You with the 3s.
And caller number 5. At 529-3508, you'll get to see 12 hours, 2 days, 1 champion of roller derby this weekend.
Do you guys sell beer out there?
Oh, yes. That's mandatory for derby events. And if you don't win the tickets with you guys, you can go to our 3 locations, Pop Cycle, Surly Wench, or Red Garter. They all do our selling of our tickets as well for us.
Oh, now do you guys have any sponsors you want to push for your event?
Well, our big ones right now are Surly Wench and Bookman's. They have supported us through and through, and they are our biggest sponsors, and we greatly appreciate those guys.
That's great.
And, of course, the Fred and Jeff Show.
Of course, the Fred and Jeff Show. Of course.
Nice work, Fred. Yeah, earlier we forgot to pitch Desert Diamond Casino and GolfNow.com for the hole-in-one guys, okay. So I want to make sure we didn't do that for you guys.
Thanks, we appreciate
so
that.
Remember, caller number 3 and caller number 5 at 529-3508. Get tickets to this weekend's Big Dust Devil. All right. Fred?
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
All right. After the break, we're going to have another quick break, maybe 2 commercials, and we're going to come back and talk to Mia from the screening room before the bottom of the hour. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest, is at a new location, the southwest corner of Speedway and Craycroft. Open 7 days a week, Charlie's is a full-service comic shop. New comics, back issues, all your collecting supplies, action figures, t-shirts, and more. No subscription too small. Shipping available. Call 320-0279. That's 320-0279. Or click on charliescomics.com. Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest.
A made-to-order, providing Tucson with quality housekeeping service since 1988. We can handle all your house cleaning needs, from one-time, move-outs, weekly, monthly, and on-call service available at your request. Our housekeepers are trained to make your house sparkle and shine. A made-to-order is even open on Saturdays, and credit cards are welcome. Let a made-to-order show you what we can do for you. 790-3195, 790-3195. A made-to-order, woman-owned and detailed. Focused.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Video. All right, and we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. We got about 7 minutes before the bottom of the hour news break.
And this is Fred and Jeff Show. Fred Ronstadt and Jeff Ronstadt.
And it's what's the day today? Well, you know, we never say what the day is.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday, March
29th,
2011. Welcome back to the Fred and Jeff Show. Remember,
AD.
Thank you, Fred. Remember, go to the Tucson or go to TucsonCentral.com, and you'll see a cool video of the roller derby tourney elbowing into TCC. It's in the sports page. It's it'll help you figure out what roller derby is all about. And
it's a fun time.
It is a fun time. So, and our next guest, welcome, Mia.
Another
Hello.
Fun time.
How you doing?
We're doing great. Hey, you know, we've been trying to get down here to Screen Room for a long time. We had a misfire a couple months ago, but here we are.
You picked the perfect day to come down.
Yeah.
Right before the big Arizona International Film Festival.
Yeah. We planned it that way.
I know. It was very good planning, by the way.
We had some help. Thank you, Mia. but before we get into the film festival, let's talk with a little bit of time we have before the news about what is the Screening Room. Tell us about the Screening Room.
Screening Room is a fabulous independent theater downtown,
mm-hmm.
127 East Congress, right across from the Chicago store. But I shouldn't even have to say that anymore because we just got this new super pretty marquee that went up in October 2009.
It is pretty cool.
It is so pretty now. I'm so excited. And our theater actually seats 130 people.
So it's real intimate.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's great for independent films. And we have rentals. You can rent it out for poetry slams. We've had concerts here. I had my birthday party here.
Have you done any live theater yet?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's one cool thing about this theater. Not only do we use it, ASMAC, Arizona Media Arts Center, not affiliated with U of A. It's a nonprofit, owns the building. Well, everybody thinks it's related to U of A. It's not. It's
disclaimer.
It's our own separate entity, nonprofit 501c3.
Uh-huh.
And they own the building.
Yeah.
And we do anything. If you want to, like, come down here and have a crazy idea, we just had this huge puppet show. It was down here. It was great. These giant puppets, we could barely get them in the building. We had it's amazing. We just had a Fringe Festival, the first Tucson Fringe Festival ever.
Fringe?
Yeah, it's this, like, non-curated, like, just grouping of shows, and they pull the acts out of the hat randomly, and then they call up the people and go, your play's on, your musical act's on, your poetry reading's on.
You know, I was invited,
oh, that's cool.
I was invited
yeah.
to that and ended up not going, but...
that was incredible.
Fred, you would have been great.
We should have done the Fred and Jeff show.
Go.
We already are.
Maybe next year you could enter.
Well, no, but we'll be part of the Fringe event.
Okay, very good, Fred.
Yeah.
So
I would like a disclaimer right now.
Fred is a 501c3, not affiliated with the Screening Room.
That's right.
So,
that's okay.
Yeah, okay, so you've been here for how long?
Believe it or not, we've been here since about 1989.
Wow, 89.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it hard to book acts in here? I mean, are you guys constantly rolling out the stuff for people? Because I know when I walked into your into your lobby, you've got all these cards.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, the one I noticed was obviously the Arizona International Film Festival.
That's coming up. That's our baby.
20 years of independence.
Yeah.
But I also saw Bob Sheldon, Man Who Brought Hollywood to the Desert.
Yeah, that's really cool. We're partnering up with the Art Institute of Tucson, and we're kind of celebrating him during the festival, and they're having an exhibit of some of his posters and memorabilia out at the Art Institute of Tucson on Grant and Rosemont.
That's great. And you're gonna screen, what movie are you screening?
He picked actually McClintock.
McClintock, cool.
Yeah.
Done at Old Tucson.
Yeah, and he was in it.
Yeah.
So you can see him.
Matter of fact, funny enough, on a prior Fred and Jeff show, you could go online at fredjeff.com and hear it. We interviewed him, and he talked about his McClintock experience. Yeah. It's a great interview with Bob.
Well, if I were your listeners, I would go on your site, listen to the podcast, and then come out and see the film during the film festival.
Yeah, April 7th, so
yeah.
It's next week.
Yeah.
Next week from 5 to 7.
Yeah.
Great, great, great. Now who pays the bills around here?
Well, we are a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so
do you have a foundation? Do you?
We have a board that raises the money, but pretty much we put everything we have back into the building. So we have nice, inexpensive rentals, and we just power through.
Good for you.
Yeah, so we have different shows, different screenings.
And has the International Film Festival always been here at the screening room?
No, actually. It started the very, very first one. It was 4 days. It was over at the Temple of Music and Art. And then it came down to the screening room. And then there was a short span where they remodeled the screening room. It used to be a shoe store at one time. And we made this theater from the ground up.
Cool.
And then it came to the screening room, and we slowly expanded. And way back when, they used to tour with the film festival. They used to put the prints in the car and go up to Prescott and Flagstaff and Sedona and Scottsdale. And then all those cities go, wow, that's really cool. We need to have our own film festival. And so this year, because it's our 20th, we're going back to our roots. So we're going to have 20 days in Tucson. We're going to Patagonia, Aravaca, Saddlebrook, and Alamos, Mexico.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, so the Arizona International Film Festival is going international.
Wait a minute. Arizona and New Mexico.
That's right.
And
we're in Mexico.
It's Mexico, not New Mexico.
Oh, Alamos, Old Mexico. Gotcha,
yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
Alamos, Mexico.
In Mexico.
Yeah.
Bueno.
We're very excited. It's going to be a 3-day fest down there, and the mayor is super excited, and all these resorts are coming together. It's going to be this great. Started out like one day, and they're like, no, we need more. It's going to be this 4-day event down there.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Well, the screen, well, we're really excited about what you guys have to offer our little town.
Oh, we have stuff every week. It's amazing. You never know what's going to be at the screening room.
Okay. So, but if folks want the latest and greatest on the screening room, they should go to your website.
Oh, yeah. Azmac.org.
Azmac?
Mac.
M-A?
Yeah. Azmac, as in cat, dot org. And that will connect you to all the cool stuff.
Very cool.
And we're also on Facebook. I would do the Facebook thing for the screening room.
All right.
So.
All right. So 20th Anniversary Film Festival. We're going to be talking to John after the break, and... what else do you want to tell us with the 30 seconds we have left?
For the film festival?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. 30 seconds. 20 days. Journey from Zanzibar. It's going to be amazing. It's about saving the Tibetan culture. The filmmakers coming in. Film festival, Arizona.com. 140 films, 20 days. Something for everybody.
You're going to show 140 films here?
Not in the Fox, the screening room, and Crossroads.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
All right, so then we've got lots more to talk about before, so we'll carry you over past the news.
All
okay,
right.
Can you stick around?
No, I can stick around.
All right, so after the news, hang out with us because we got more from Mia at the screening room and our special guest, John. And, John, you're going to tell us about directing a movie, right? All right, so stick with us. We'll be right back.
CNN Radio, I'm Stan Case. Muammar Gaddafi's forces went on the attack Tuesday, driving opposition fighters back to the outskirts of Ras Lanuf, a city Libyan rebels seized on Sunday.
This is most certainly a very bitter disappointment to the opposition that was hoping to be able to continue with the same momentum all the way to Gaddafi's hometown of Sirte, all the way to Tripoli.
CNN's Arwa Damon. Syrian media report President Bashar al-Assad will reassure the nation with an address on Wednesday. The Syrian cabinet resigned Tuesday as huge crowds demonstrated in the streets of Damascus. Virginia Tech officials say they will appeal a $55,000 fine imposed by the U.S. Department of Education. The department says the university waited too long to give students and staff timely warnings that a gunman was loose on campus during a 2007 rampage. 32 people were killed. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
Motorcycle owners, here's something to stash in your saddlebags. GEICO could save you money on motorcycle insurance, and here's how easy it is. You call GEICO and speak to a specialized motorcycle agent who gives you a free rate quote. If you're like thousands of other riders, the rate is less than what you pay now. And before you can say, cha-ching, the agent also tells you about 24/7 emergency road service for less than a dollar a month. Savings. It's what we do for people. Call today for a free rate quote. GEICO. Saving people money on more than just car insurance.
May I light that cigar for you, sir?
Thank you.
And we are back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt with my brother, Jeffrey. We're in Hog
Heaven. Hi, folks. How are you doing?
We're in Hog Heaven.
I hope you're driving home safe.
The screening room down on 127 East Congress. And with us on the line is Big Mike from the Tinderbox. How you doing, Big Mike?
Good evening, gentlemen.
What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, same old stuff. How's it going?
We're having a great time here at the screening room. It's really a cool facility.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So what do you got for us this week, Mike?
Hey, today I got a little added bonus. Instead of one specific cigar, I'm doing the entire Gurkha line.
Holy mackerel.
So everything we've got in stock in Gurkha is going to be buy three, get one free. You can mix and match whatever you like.
Right. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, now, Mike, tell our listeners a little bit about the Gurkha line.
Gurkha is, most of the cigars are made in Honduras, and they only have a few mild blends. They predominantly have medium to full-bodied smokes. They do have the status, which is mild. They come in like long crystal tubes. And typically people might be familiar with the Assassins. I know, friend, you and your brother are familiar with the Assassin, the Avenger G5, the Ancient Warrior. They've got some pretty neat names on their product. They have the Beast, the Crest, the Titan. So they got a nice series there of cigars, but predominantly medium to full-bodied cigars.
Great.
That's sweet. And Mike, the deal is?
Is, as usual, buy three, get one free. You can mix and match, and you can find us at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124. If you want to give us a call, please do at 747-4807.
Awesome, Big Mac. And I want to thank you for hooking up one of my buddies with a new Zycar lighter.
Hey, oh, yeah, you came and picked that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, you picked up the Elements, a good little lighter.
Yeah, you guys are full-service joint.
Wonderful.
Yeah, however, I do want to say something, Mike, just as an aside.
Sure.
I know you've been trying to recruit Fred to the millions of pipe smokers, but I don't know, how's that working out?
I'm still enjoying it.
Fred's going to be a work in progress.
Yes, he always has been. All right, Mike, thanks a bunch. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good evening.
All right, and on the other side of the break, one more break, and then we're going to go out the rest of the show with Mia from the screening room and our special guest, John Proudstar. So hang in there.
Thank you for calling Huge Conglomerate Insurance. Your call is somewhat important to us. Please hold, and we'll be with you as soon as we can.
When you get sick or injured, the first call you make is to your neighborhood doctor. Shouldn't the next call you make be to your local insurance representative? Skip the hours waiting on hold to ask a simple question about what your insurance policy will cover.
Your current wait time is 45 minutes.
Instead, call Ronstadt Insurance at 721-4848 and get the attention that you deserve. Trust local, trust Ronstadt Insurance. Pioneers in good service.
Why did Temco Air Environmental win the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award?
We do what we say we're going to do, when we say we're going to do it, at the price we quote it.
Check us out with the Better Business Bureau or the Registrar of Contractors.
Temco Air Environmental, for all your heating and cooling needs.
And we are back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show.
We are so not good at this stuff.
No, we're getting better.
Yeah, we're trying to tweet right now, so we didn't have enough time to try to figure out how to tweet.
No, we'll get it done.
All right. So
this is the Fred and Jeff Show. I'm Fred Ronstadt. We're here with my brother Jeff.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're having a safe drive home in this beautiful Southern Arizona day.
It's a gorgeous day.
It is beautiful.
And we're sitting here in the screening room at 127 East Congress Street.
And we're here with Mia Schnabel.
Yeah.
How was that?
Pretty close. Close enough.
Mia.
I know who you're talking to.
How do you pronounce your last name?
Mia Schnabel.
Mia Schnabel. Okay. Yeah. So, and Mia, before we had to go to the news break, we were talking about the films that you guys are going to be showing here at the screening room.
We are so excited.
Okay, and we're talking about the 20th?
The 20th edition of the Arizona International Film Festival. It is amazing. It's going to be April 1 through 20. Normally we're a 10-day festival. We've expanded to 20 days to celebrate the 20th edition.
Very cool.
A little crazy.
Yeah.
Not many people do 20 days. And we're going to have 140 films from over 25 different countries this year.
Wow.
Yeah, all over southern Arizona and Aravaca, Patagonia, Saddlebrook, and Alamos, Mexico, like I said.
Alamos, Mexico.
But we're super excited. It's starting this Friday. It's going to be The Journey from Zanzibar at the Fox at 8 p.m., only $10. And it's about this whole village, this Tibetan village, is trying to save their culture, and they have to send their children away to school because they don't have a school. And we're not talking teenagers. We're talking 4, 5, 6-year-olds.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and if these parents, if they see their children again, it won't be for 15 years.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. And the filmmaker, Frederick Marx, he was one of the producers of Hoop Dreams. I love that movie.
That's a great movie.
He's coming here, so you'll be able to meet him, talk to him, ask him questions.
So is that kind of the format of this? You screen the movie, and then afterwards someone influential with making the movie gets to answer questions.
Yeah. A lot of the filmmakers come in. Later in the show, you'll hear from Joe Prouncer. He'll be at his show. And so that's one thing about mixed festivals, better and cool and different, is when the filmmaker comes to town, you can ask him questions. It's like, why did you do it that way? Why did you have the dog in there? Why did you do this? And it really makes it more an interactive experience in the community. You know, it makes it more of a community experience.
Right, that's cool.
Yeah, it's way cool.
So Friday it opens with this movie.
Yeah.
And then the first movie you have here is on Saturday.
Yeah, well, we have 140 films. That, what you're looking at, is this really cool, handy pocket postcard. We couldn't put all 140 films on there, of course. That's just highlights.
Uh-huh.
But one of the cool films we're going to have is On Coal River. That's Saturday, April the 2nd, 3 o'clock at the screening room. And the cool thing about that is it's how this community in West Virginia is dealing with the coal mines and the corporations. And there's a lot of parallels for Southern Arizona and what's going on with the Rosemont mines.
Interesting.
So it's interesting. We also have a film called The Pipe later in the festival. And that's about Ireland and how they're dealing with the oil pipe going through their community. So it's weird. Three different areas of the world are dealing with similar problems for their community and with energy. And it's just a fascinating thread. The theme.
Now, who picks all the movies that you guys screen?
We have a screening committee of 10 to 12 community members, and they, my hat's off to them. I can't do that. We consider over 1,000 films this year.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's all they do. That's their life for a couple months.
Is there a catalog that you just kind of pull from?
No.
Or?
We go to different festivals and hand-pick films that we like, that think that Tucson likes and will do well here, and then people can submit films. And we give everybody the fair shot. We watch it all the way to the end, unlike some festivals, and because that's a little known secret, but we watch it to the very, very end. You pay your entry fee, we'll give you a fair shake. And the committee members pick it, and we go from there, and we form a festival.
So these committee members screen 1,000?
Well, we considered 1,000.
Okay.
So, but they considered several hundred that got sent in.
Holy cow.
Yeah,
so
it's crazy.
This is a lot of time and energy put into this.
Yeah, event. Pretty much we live at the screening room for a couple months. Yeah,
wow, that's
it's
great.
Just amazing.
Well, I'm excited for you guys, and I'm excited for the community, because this is a fantastic event.
We're the largest and longest running film festival in the state. That's why we have actually the name Arizona, because when we started, no one was around.
Oh, and now they're doing it everywhere.
Well, now, you know, Tucson, you know, it's great. They have like 10 film festivals. So, you know, hey, that's great. More independent film, the better, you know, because once you start watching independent film, you realize how great it is. and you just want more. So everybody, rising water raises all ships. So, yay.
All right. Good for you guys.
Yeah.
All right. So thanks a bunch for being on the show.
Not a problem.
Really appreciate your hospitality.
A couple things everybody's always worried about. Ticket prices, very reasonable. All this information can be found on our website, filmfestivalarizona.com. We're on Facebook for the Screening Room and the Arizona International Film Festival. We're on Twitter, AZ Film Fest. Follow all those. I know it's a lot of things to follow, but we give different prizes and different things away on each one. Ticket price is $5 for late night, $6 matinee, $8 prime time. You can buy a 20 pass. We've lowered the price because it's our 20th. So we've lowered the price to only $20, five films. Or you can get the all access, all the parties, all the panels, the film summit at AI, the two-day festival.
AI?
Art Institute of Tucson.
Okay.
One of our big sponsors.
Cool.
And you can get that. And that's only $100 for 20 days of films.
Wow.
So you could live down here with me and everybody else and see films.
That's a lot of popcorn.
Yeah. So we start at the Fox. We go to the Screen Room. We go to Crossroads and the Art Institute of Tucson. Everybody worries about parking. There's no parking problem downtown.
You know, that's
there
a
is
huge
no.
issue. That, every time I talk to somebody, so for instance, I'll give you a perfect example. The Centurions.
Yeah.
You know the Centurions.
Yeah, they're coming downtown, baby.
At the Centurions party this year is downtown.
Yep, May 7th.
That's right. May 7th, the Centurions are having their party. It's been at Tucson Electric Park for the last 6 or 7 years.
Yep.
They're shaking it up, putting it downtown.
Yes,
and the first thing people said is, oh, my gosh, there's no parking. Not true.
Not true.
Not true.
So if you there's so much parking. There's the new parking garage right by Hotel Congress, the old Martin Luther King apartments, now called 1 North 5th, 2012, not for this festival, obviously, the big new parking garage going just east of Hotel Congress.
Right, you get the Pennington Street garage.
Yes, Pennington, you just go on Congress, you go past the screening room,
everything's
Scott.
Walking distance.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not only that, the first light is Scott. You turn, you go to Pennington, $2. I counted the steps the other day, only 220 steps from the Pennington garage to the screening room.
That's pretty good.
That's closer than if you go to Tucson Mall and you get lost like I did the other day looking for a store, trying to get my watch fixed. I must have walked a mile to find the watch store. It was ridiculous. And all the meters are free after 5, and on the weekends they're all free. But obviously, fire lanes, handicap, loading zones are always in effect.
Right.
But, oh, man, there's
plenty of parking.
5,000 spots. Where else are you going to get 5,000 spots?
And we're probably going to roll that horse in here every week for a while and keep kicking it to let people know there's plenty of parking downtown.
Tell everybody there's plenty of parking for the film festival, the Screening Room, and the Centurions.
Perfect, perfect. Thanks, Mia.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And what we're going to do now is we're going to have you pass those headphones over to Senor John Proudstar.
Excellent.
And, John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good. Thanks for hanging in with us. You're kind of like the marquee guest on the show today, not taking anything away from me or the Roller Derby Girls or the Parks Foundation, but you actually...
You made a film.
You made a film.
Yes, I did. That's what I'm being told.
It was like a crazy 3 months. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, the next thing I know is when I tell people how I pledged a fraternity. I woke up the next morning and I had a pledge pin on. So
exactly.
You know?
It's kind of sort of like making a film.
So tell, where are you from, John?
I'm born and raised here in Tucson, Arizona.
Where'd you go to school?
School of Hard Knocks.
That's a good school.
I went to most of the high schools here in Tucson. I went to Catalina. I went to Joya. I finally ended up at Tucson High.
you did the tour.
In your 20-year reunion, where will you go?
Yeah, probably Tucson High. But I'll tell you, man, high school was the hardest 7 years of my life. So
I usually say that about college. Okay, so how did you get into film?
I wanted to do it ever since I was a child. I grew up on this 22nd and 3rd Avenue, and I was just, you know, TV was my best buddy. And one day my grandmother explained to me that, you know, that it was fake. It wasn't real. I thought it was all real. And I was like, fake, you know, and she goes, no, it's like a job. That's what they do for their job. And I'm like, that's like playing. That's like playing all day long.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's the kind of job I want. And I had always wanted to do it. And back in the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of motion picture productions going on here, speaking of Bob Shelton. And it was always around, but my parents were full-time workers, so they never had a chance to take me down to audition for extra parts. So when I turned 18, I started auditioning for films.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the first film you auditioned for, you remember?
Thunder Alley.
I remember Thunder Alley.
With Leif Garrett and Clancy Brown.
Yeah, I remember that, too.
I think a buddy of mine, Tim Harris, was in that Thunder Alley movie.
I didn't get picked for it.
Oh, no.
You should thank your lucky stars.
Yeah.
So Thunder Alley was your first...
Thunder Alley was the first audition or tryout or, you know, cattle call that I had went to. And it was like five or six films later, I finally got chosen to be an extra.
On which film?
It was, oh my God, it was a Western, a real bad Western, and I forgot the name of it, thank God.
Straight to DVD, right?
They didn't have DVDs.
Oh.
But I became very curious with the process of making movies. I fell in love with it. I was just hooked, and I didn't like being an extra because, you know, you're like furniture. So they kept telling us, don't bother the directors, don't bother the producers. So what's the first thing I do is I bother the director, and I'm like, how do I get to be, you know, the star or one of the main people? And he explained, well, you need to take acting classes, you need to get a headshot, you need to do all this stuff. So for the next couple of years, I started doing that. I trained in L.A. under Joan Darling, who's one of the most awesome acting coaches in America. And I did some films in L.A. and then came back to Tucson and started auditioning for films really aggressively out here. And the more I started to land parts, the less I liked the not having the power to tell the stories. And being Native American, they were only casting me as, you know, the Indian on the horse.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of sparse lines,
sure.
Broken English. I didn't
you're
like...
You're really pigeonholed.
Yeah. And I'm like, is this it? Is this my destiny? I'm going to be the Indian du jour in every film, you know? And I wanted to make stories about Natives that didn't necessarily have to do with being Native. Because, you know, as a people, we're very misunderstood. You know, people think that, I believe that they have this image of us, that we know all about our culture and all about, you know, the 753 different tribes in America, that we know all about them. And if we don't act and behave in a certain way, like we're portrayed in the movies, that we're not Indian.
Hmm.
So I wanted to start making films. I grew up watching, you know, Benny Hill and the Marx Brothers and Carol Burnett and John Ritter. And Gene Wilder. And
those are all like, comedic geniuses, though.
Yeah,
right?
And I wanted to do that. I wanted to make people laugh. And Hollywood was just not in a position to let me do that. And the more I started meeting with, you know, studios, 20th Century Fox and Paramount and these big companies, and I started telling them what I wanted to do, they were like, no.
Wow.
You can play the rapist, you can play the murderer, you can play the drunk guy, you can play, you know, they had this little pool of roles I was only going to be able to play. So I walked away from Hollywood, much to the chagrin of my family and friends, and they're like, what are you doing?
Well,
this is suicide. This
so
is
you had it, but so you had a budding career working there.
Yeah, I was doing really well. I was starting to do really well, and then I came back home to raise my daughter. I got custody of her when she was 5 years old, and I didn't want to raise her in L.A., so I chose to raise her out here. And, you know, intermittently kept trying to audition for films and trying to do things. And long story short, I started when I was 18. I didn't make my first film till I was like 38.
Wow.
Yeah, and I would, I think Julio got so sick of me, Julio Scalinger. I would always tell him, I'm going to make this movie, and it's going to be a great movie. And I would tell him this every year for years. And then finally, I made my first short film, Dude Vision. And I made it for $147. And I wasn't going to make it.
Wait. How do you make a short movie for $147?
Oh, my God.
A lot of volunteer friends.
Yeah, a lot of volunteer friends. And I had worked on so many local filmmakers' films, you know, either as an actor or crew or whatever, that everyone kind of owed me a favor, you know.
Okay.
So I got to call in a ton of favors.
Perfect.
And there's a lot of begging and borrowing and, you know, stealing.
Sure.
Hey, there's my grandma's barn.
Yeah, exactly. And avoiding the cops. And,
right.
all kinds of stuff. And I was really determined. I had got chosen for the Sundance Directors Lab in 2005. And I got to sit down with Robert Redford. And there had been a couple of production
houses. How cool
houses.
Was that?
That was weird because, you know, it's Redford. It's the natural.
He's an icon.
Yeah, and you know, we went out to dinner one night at his resort thing, and we were talking, and I was telling him what I wanted to do because there were companies talking to me, but they wanted Native-driven pieces, you know, like Chris Eyre, very dark, very, you know, woe is me kind of.
Right,
look at
show
the
plight
of
the nation,
yeah,
kind of thing.
And I'm like, well, we're such a funny people, you know, and we're funny, and we're always laughing, and then, yeah, sometimes it is. It was hard growing up, you know, being indigenous here in Tucson, but it wasn't always like that. That didn't dictate who we were, you know, the sadness and the alcoholism and the other stuff that goes along with that. That didn't dictate the kind of people we were. And that's what I wanted to show. I wanted to show our the human side, the funny side, the family side, the, you know, just the normal side that nobody gets to see, you know.
Oh, that's great.
And I think that's why we're misunderstood, because, you know, people have all these assumptions about us that we don't laugh, we don't smile in pictures. you know, we're very stoic, stone-faced, you know, warrior type, you know, characters.
Oh, that's very cool. Very cool. So you did this first short film.
Yeah, and it was, at first I wasn't, and then I told Redford about it, about Dude Vision, and he goes, well, tell me about it. And I go, oh, it's about this guy, and he likes looking at his girlfriend, and he has all these perverted thoughts about her, and he's a single, well, he's not single, he's in a monogamous relationship, and all he wants to do is play video games and have sex.
Well, now.
can I sign up for that?
Yeah, we probably have a couple listeners that are all over that.
Well, sex with his girlfriend. He's
right.
Really into his girlfriend. And Redford's like, well, do it. Go ahead and do it. And, you know, when one of the movie gods gives you permission to do your film,
You're going to do it.
And I had the pleasure of working with Ed Harris and Philip Seymour Hoffman and Stanley Tucci at the festival, or at the director's workshop. And just getting, you know, verification from them and kudos from them on my ability really put a fire under me. So when I came back to Tucson, I was like, I'm going to make this film. And getting to meet with other filmmakers from across the United States who had the same plight that I did, they were all broke, they were all unemployed, they were all selling their cars, stealing cars, you know. Everything they were doing, I was doing to make my film. And it kind of makes you feel like, you know, do I belong? Should I be here? You know, filmmaking is like, you know, only supposed to be for rich people or something, because there's so much money involved in making a film. But when you hear that everybody else is kind of going through the same thing, it just kind of bolsters your, you know, ambition.
Your resolve. Yeah.
Your resolve.
You really want to get it done.
Because you're like, if they can do it, then I can do it.
So you made this movie. It was well received.
Yes, we won 3 awards with it, and it's opened a lot of doors for me. I thought it was pretty funny. You can see it on Google Video. If you go to Google Video, just type in Dude Vision, and that's my first film. It's a 24-minute short.
We'll put that up on the website.
Yeah, we'll definitely link to that, Dude Vision. Now, you go from a short movie, and you jump all the way to what you're doing now, or what you've done.
Yeah.
Tell us about the movie that this, it's called So Close to Perfect, right?
Yes, it's called So Close to Perfect. We made it for $2,700.
$2,700? I mean, the upside on these movies must be unbelievable.
Well, you know, I mean, when you make a film for that little amount, it definitely comes with caveats, and that's with the quality, the overall quality. You know, we have sound issues, we have, you know, there's issues that come along with having such a low budget, you're not able to refine it as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you start refining a film, that comes in post-production. And you have to rent a place to edit this, and you have to rent the sound guy and the editor and all these people that cost money. And when you don't have that money, you're not going to get to refine your film.
You get what you get.
You get what you get. You know?
And so tell us about this movie.
So Close to Perfect, I had always wanted to write a romantic comedy, an ensemble cast. There's a ton of great actors here in Tucson that just never get cast in anything, or by, you know, like they have lives, you know, they have kids and jobs and responsibilities, and they can't go to Hollywood, and they can't work as full-time actors. And I've always wanted to give these people the chance to shine. And Dude Vision was kind of sort of my moment, like, hey, here's my moment, I'm going to take advantage of it. And this was a moment to not only allow myself to act a little bit, but all these other great actors that I've wanted to work with locally and give them a moment in the sun. But it's basically about dating and how horrible it is and, you know, some of the unspoken laws that happen when you're dating and when you first go in. And there's, you know, each character has their lament about dating. My character has been kind of sort of lamenting about a relationship that ended 3-4 years ago, and his ex just, like, literally the next day she's dating just fine. And, you know, 3 years later he's like...
Don't you love that?
Yeah. Like, nothing happened. Okay.
Back to the video games, right?
Yeah, exactly. and it's a contemporary piece. And it's another chance for me to play a character that has nothing to do with being native. I mean, obviously my character's native, but we don't beat the audience over the head with, oh, look, he's native, or listen, there's an eagle cry in the background, or... You know, the sound of a snake. You know?
You're not wearing feathers or anything
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. And my grandfather's not a shaman.
Right.
Or,
you're just a guy.
You know,
that's, you know, living.
Just a dude. And,
that's,
you know,
great.
And it's, you know, all ethnicities in the film. That's one thing I noticed about Hollywood. They tend to be very ethnocentric in their casting, and they exclude, I feel they exclude us, you know, natives from contemporary roles, you know, especially if you have more of a traditional look, like I'm growing my hair long. If you have really long hair, they're like, well, you don't look modern. I'm like, oh, well, thanks.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, well, if you were to cut your hair, you know, and I'm like, I can't cut my hair. This is a religious belief. It's not a fashion statement. And natives that look like this exist in contemporary times.
Sure.
And when I'm not working on films, I work with survivors of child molestation and violent youth offenders on the reservation. I've been doing that for 25 years. And that's one of the important things, that is they're so far removed from their culture because contemporary media keeps beating them over the head with, that doesn't work here in you know, contemporary life, the way you look and act and behave.
It is so sad that a lot of youth take their lead from what they see on TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they just assume that's how it is.
Yeah.
And a lot of them don't have a grandma like you had that said, hey, honey, this is not real. It's just makeup.
Yeah.
Go out and make your own life. Go out and do your own thing.
Yeah, and I do workshops on the reservations now with the kids there, and I'm teaching them, and they're starting to demystify, you know, the whole gang thing and how the gangs are kind of sort of bringing them in through the music videos and stuff like that. As they learn about the smoke and mirrors, they're starting to realize on their own, they're very smart children, and they start to realize, like, wow, I feel like I'm being taken advantage of.
Good for you.
And it's like, yes, you are. You know, welcome to the real world.
Right. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's good work you do.
Oh, I love it. I've been doing it 25 years. I'm going to be doing it till the day I die.
Good for you.
I'm going to be starting a program here called Proud Stars Roughnecks, and it's a boot camp, a filmmaking boot camp for kids on the reservation, and then I want to expand. Because I love working with violent youth offenders. I was one as a kid. I was always in trouble and, you know, bouncing from high school to high school.
Sure.
And they're awesome kids. They're kids that, you know, fall through the cracks. And media is a great way, you know, to bring them back in.
To include them
scholastically and make them productive citizens.
That's great.
Basically.
So we got 2 minutes left. Your movie, So Close to Perfect, is going to screen what day? What's that?
April 2nd, which is a Saturday at 6 p.m. at the screening room.
So it's here.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and you'll be talking after the film about what you were thinking, how it worked.
Yeah, and some of the cast will be there, and it's a funny movie, and very talented local actors. You'll get to meet all the actors, and you'll get to laugh at our pain.
Is this the world premiere of this movie?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Yes, it is.
Very cool. Anything on the horizon?
I'm developing a film called Zombie Chingon. It's a it's a zombie comedy.
You know, we don't have enough zombie comedy.
Yeah, and I want to shoot it out here in Tucson. That's my hope, is to be able to shoot it out here, because it does have a Tucson theme. All my films kind of sort of revolve around this area.
All right, when you do Zombie Chingon, you need to call Fred and I, because we'll be zombies for you.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah,
I'll
let us
kill
know.
Both of you.
Yeah, let us know. We'd like to eat some brains or whatever.
Oh, it is done.
That's
it
great.
Is done.
Well, listen, thank you for everything you do in this community.
Oh, thank you.
You know, a lot of people, you know, that hear us for the first time, what we want to tell them is that this show is about the people, the places, the events, the history, the culture that makes Tucson and Southern Arizona such a wonderful place to live. And all you guys, you really, really put into that mix, and we appreciate everything you do.
Oh, thank you.
So good luck on Saturday. We're rooting for you. Hopefully we'll be here to see you and heckle you from the crowd. And
great.
Mia, thanks a bunch for getting us in here. I mean, we really, really appreciate all the hard work you've done. Parks Foundation, Roller Derby Girls, folks, you live in Tucson, Arizona. You live in a great community.
One of the greatest in the world.
Yeah, please come out and support these guys, because this is what makes us all neighbors. So, Fred, one more down. Good for you. Who do we got coming down next week?
Next week, we have some fun people.
Come on. I asked you earlier who we're going to have next week.
I think the folks from Meet Me at Maynard's.
Oh, yeah, Meet Me at Maynard's is next week.
Yeah, their two-year anniversary.
All right. So tune us in next week, folks, to get the history of Meet Me at Maynard's, and have a great week, Tucson.
Desde el hoyo hasta la sequía. De la sequía hasta el río.